The name's lean has been inextricably linked with businessman Tomasz Bacza ever since the beginning of the 20th century. So much so that despite the word bearing no resemblance to his name, the town was renamed in 1949 by the communist leadership, who evidently found the original name to be too closely associated with the buccaneering capitalist shoe king. However, despite the communists' best efforts, the name and memory of Tomasz Bacza could not be entirely erased, and after 40 years of being officially known as Gottwaldów, after the first communist leader of Czechoslovakia, Klement Gottwald, the town quickly changed its name back to Zlín after the Velvet Revolution. Lenka Čechmánková from the Museum of Southeastern Moravia in Zlín says that during those four decades, the town's new name never stuck.
Well, I think people, it was officially used, but I think people didn't really like it. So I think they were still using Zlín.
Nowadays, Tomasz Bacza's indelible legacy can still be seen everywhere in the city, not only in the many buildings, streets and institutions that bear his name, but also in the architecture. Although shoe production in Zlín stopped decades ago, the buildings in the former industrial district are still standing, although many of them had to be rebuilt after bombing during World War II, and are used nowadays as company and government offices, restaurants and coffee shops. Much of the rest of the town was also built by Bacza, who had to provide housing and recreation for the hordes of workers that his company employed. Tomasz Bacza was born in 1876 in Zlín, Moravia, then part of the Austro-Hungarian Empire. He founded the Bacza Shoe Company in 1894, at the age of only 18, with his brother Antonín and sister Anna. However, Anna left the company after she got married, and Antonín died in 1908 from tuberculosis, so from then on, Tomasz had sole control over the company. The sibling's father, also called Antonín, had been a cobbler, and the family had a long history of shoemaking spanning eight generations and over 300 years. It was from his father that Tomasz learned the trade that allowed him to found the company, at the time still using traditional methods of shoemaking by hand. But Bacza was nothing if not an innovator, and it wasn't long before he started modernizing, installing steam-driven machines in 1899. In 1904, he read a newspaper article about new machines being made in the United States for the manufacturing of shoes. He travelled to Lynn, a city outside Boston that was the centre of the world's footwear industry at the time, and returned to Zlín 6 months later with ideas for mechanised production techniques that allowed the Bacza Shoe Company to become one of the first mass producers of shoes in Europe. But he didn't only return with inspiration for mass production techniques, says Lenka Čechmánková.
At the beginning of the 20th century, Tomasz Bacza, he decided to go to America because he was curious about how they were working over there, and so he wanted to learn more. And when he was over there, he got inspired by the factory buildings, and he got inspired to the point that he brought the plans for the factory buildings straight from America. And after he returned here, he started building the factory buildings according to those plans.
In fact, Bacza followed the plan so exactly that even the building measurements remained the same. For example, the factory buildings have reinforced concrete skeletons made of columns 6.15 meters apart.
Which is kind of a strange number. Maybe you're asking why the number is like this. Well, it's because of the plans that were brought straight from America, because all of the measurements stayed the same. So these 6 meters and 15 centimeters are 20 feet.
Lynn wasn't the only place Bacza visited in the US. He travelled around the country, gathering inspiration and ideas. Another very influential visit was to Detroit, Michigan, the home of Henry Ford, the founder of Ford Motor Company, chief developer of the assembly line technique of mass production, and creator of the first automobile that middle-class Americans could afford, the Model T.
He visited the Ford factories. And so that was very important for the Bacza company, because that's where he got the idea, or he got inspired by Henry Ford, and he started making shoes on a production line. So that's where he got the idea, and that really changed things here in the Bacza company. So he started making shoes on a production line in 1927, and that was a big change for the Bacza factory.
Tomasz Bacza was not only unafraid to experiment with new technologies, but was also willing to take bold financial risks in order to save his company. He brought the company from the brink of bankruptcy several times, first of all in the summer of 1895, not long after it was first founded. The firm was already facing financial difficulties, however, but Tomáš's idea to sew shoes from canvas instead of leather saved the company and helped it grow from 10 to 50 employees. The next crisis was at the start of World War I. Fortunately, Bacha managed to get a huge contract with the Austro-Hungarian military for 50,000 pairs of army boots. This once again saved the company from bankruptcy and also saved the factory workers from having to serve in the army, as they were required to stay at home to make the boots. The end of the war brought yet more economic woes, however, as after World War I, the company naturally lost the military contract. In addition, an economic crisis hit, which meant ordinary people weren't buying shoes and the company had to let go of a lot of workers. But Bacha once again managed to save the company by lowering the prices of Bacha shoes by 50% in 1922, with the company's workers agreeing to a temporary 40% reduction in wages in exchange for Bacha providing food, clothing, and other necessities at half price. Bacha was also something of a social philanthropist in the vein of other industrialists of his day. He strived for the Bacha Shoe Company to be not just a source of private wealth, but a means of improving living standards within the community and providing customers with good value for their money. He introduced the five-day work week and paid his workers well, as Čechmánková describes.
The lowest paid worker in the Bacha factory got about 300 crowns per week. It was usually higher. That was like the lowest paid worker. Mm-hmm. So it depended, of course, on their position in the factory. So these salaries in the Bacha factory were really good. They were above average mm-hmm. for the time. Mm-hmm. So they were very good. So a lot of people were coming here during, for example, after the First World War. So between the two wars, a lot of people were coming here.
In addition, it was Bacha's policy to set up entire villages around the factories he built for his workers, with houses, schools and entertainment facilities. These villages can be seen in countries around the world, not only in Europe, but as far afield as Canada, Brazil and India. But the original Bacha village was in Zlín. As Čechmánková describes, he turned the town from a provincial backwater into an industrial hub.
Zlín was really, at the end of the 19th century, a small city. It was basically a village. There were around 3,000 people living here. So when there was a huge influx between the walls of people here, they didn't have where to live here. There were not enough houses. So that's why the Bacha factory decided to start building houses for their workers.
The Bacha houses, with their red brick walls and flat roofs, are very distinctive, especially in Czechia, where this architectural style is uncommon.
There are three types of houses. Quarter houses, which means that there are four living units in one house. Semi-detached houses, that means two living units in one house. And detached houses, with just one living unit there.
Zlín's Letná district, the so-called Bacha village, has rows and rows of these types of red brick houses, which are nowadays protected buildings due to their historical and architectural significance. Lenka Čechmánková explains a little about what life in these houses was like for the workers of the Bacha company who rented them.
So these houses were very modern at the time, and that was because they had electricity, they had running water, and they had flushing toilets. So right after the First World War, flushing toilets were definitely not very common, so it was definitely very modern at the time. Each house had a small garden, which was not meant for growing vegetables, but it was meant for relaxing after work. In general, these houses were meant for relaxing and for family life.
Since these houses were only for married workers of the Bacha company to live in with their families, single workers had to live in dormitories with their own private rooms and shared bathrooms. But for the families living in the Bacha houses, there was significantly more space. Each living unit had two floors, usually with a bathroom, kitchen and living room on the ground floor, and bedrooms for parents and children on the first floor.
The stairs to the first floor were usually very typical, is that they were very narrow and steep. So each living unit had to have a big window on the first floor through which they were moving furniture to the first floor, because it was impossible to move the furniture through the stairs, right? It was impossible.
The houses were also made to be affordable. The rent started at 15 crowns for a quarter house and went up to 35 crowns per week for a detached house, making the rent only around 5 to 10% of the lowest paid worker's salary, something that renters in today's overcrowded cities can only dream of. Tomasz Bacz's legacy can also be seen in Zlin's film legacy, which continues to this day in the form of the Zlin International Film Festival for Children and Youth. Zlin's film studios were originally built to make Bacza commercials, as Cech Mankova describes.
First, they had their commercials for their products produced externally in film studios in Prague, but then the Bacza company decided it would be better if they would be making their own commercials and be much cheaper and faster. So they built film studios here in Zlin. And after that, also cartoons for children and other movies were produced there. So the popularity actually grew of the film studios as well.
Tomasz Bacza didn't live to see his factories get bombed in World War II or to see his company nationalized after the 1948 communist coup in Czechoslovakia. He died in 1932 at the age of 56 in a plane crash at an airport in Otrokovice, around 10 kilometers from Zlin. He had intended to go to Switzerland, where the Bacza company's headquarters are now located, to open a new factory there. His half-brother, Jan Antonin Bacza, younger than Tomasz by 22 years, took over as head of the company. At the time of Tomasz's death, the Bacza company employed 16,560 people and maintained 1,645 shops and 25 enterprises. Tomasz Bacza had been immensely popular among the local people, which showed in the fact that he had also been elected mayor of Zlin, a position which he held at the time of his death. Lenka Cichmankova thinks his popularity continues to this day.
There are a lot of people coming here saying that their grandparents or their grandfather or great-grandfather worked in the Bacza company. So there's still a lot of people out there, but because the Bacza company had a lot of workers. So there are a lot of people out there whose grandfathers or grandparents worked in the Bacza company.